Welcome, Weirdos! I'm Darren Marlar, and this is your Weird Darkness, Weird Dark News. Americans have a new pandemic-related problem to worry about – zombies. No, not the kind that kill to eat brains, but the type that kills because their own noggins aren't operating at full capacity. So-called Zoom zombies are terrorizing U.S. drivers and pedestrians, according to the Route Insurance Distracted Driving Awareness Survey released earlier this week. According to the survey, 54% of motorists who've driven their vehicles soon after using a video conferencing platform report having trouble concentrating on the road. The age of the person behind the wheel impacts how well he or she can focus on driving. For Gen Xers, the attentiveness problem drops to 48%, while for Millennials it's 61%, and Gen Z, 65%. "Don't Zoom and drive" might become the new popular refrain for the pandemic era. COVID-19 fundamentally changed the way we interact with our vehicles, Root Insurance founder and CEO Alex Timm says in a written statement. As many abruptly shifted to a virtual environment, Americans' reliance on technology dramatically increased along with their screen time, causing a majority of drivers to carry their distracted behavior into the vehicles. Use of video conferencing tools has skyrocketed since last March when COVID-19 brought normal life in the United States to a halt. Tools like Skype, Google Meet, and WebEx are now the go-to for everything from family birthday parties to theater performances, though it's work meetings that generally require the most concentration. Experts explain that video conferencing saps more brain power than in-person conferences because you have to pay more attention. Participating in a video call, usually from your home, requires you to block out all the personal belongings surrounding you – interruptions from roommates or partners, children running around, household chores, etc. Attention is a limited resource, Stefan Vanderstiegel, a professor of experimental psychology at Utrecht University in the Netherlands, tells Fast Company. All of that resource needs to be allocated to a screen. It's really poor VR. You need to transport yourself to a location where you're not physically present while ignoring all distractions around you. The inability to zero in on activity can impact whatever you do after the video conferencing call, and the lack of focus while behind the wheel can save serious and potentially deadly consequences. If you go on the road, you just used a large portion of your concentration, and that will leave you with less ability to concentrate, he explains. Driving on the road requires quite a lot of attention, especially if it's a route that you've not taken before. Distracted driving was already a problem before the pandemic, and national data shows that traffic fatalities have increased over the last year. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, 28,190 people died in car crashes during the first 9 months of 2020, up 4.6% from the same time the previous year. To combat the potential for driving accidents due to low concentration post-video conferencing, Vanderstiegel suggests picking an activity to do before getting behind the wheel. Do something after the video call that doesn't require concentration. Laundry, take a walk, do something that goes relatively automatically. This will let your brain recharge, he says. His advice is to cut down on video conferencing exhaustion in general by reducing the number of Zoom meetings you have. For instance, by switching some to phone calls that you can participate in while using a headset and taking a walk, instead of staring at a computer screen. And if you must do them on screen, schedule a 5-to-10-minute break between video calls rather than slotting them one right after another. During the bit of downtime, get up and do something like use the restroom, get a cup of coffee, or just stretch. Give yourself a chance to mentally relax and re-energize. The Ministry of Defense in the UK, their secret ET hunters, didn't trust civil servants with their information, according to Dr. David Clark, who uncovered the Defense Intelligence Staff study in 2005. Britain's secret UFO investigators kept their findings hidden from the government, an academic has claimed. Dr. David Clark of Sheffield Hallam University said the Ministry of Defense team tasked with hunting ETs didn't trust civil servants briefing ministers with their data. The lecturer and investigative journalist uncovered the Defense Intelligence Staff's 400-page study into 10,000 UFO sightings in 2005, but he has now said it's military officials that often kept their findings secret from civil servants over fears the information would be leaked. Dr. Clark added former government UFO investigators who have gone public over the findings, such as Nick Pope, didn't investigate anything. He told the UFO podcast with Martin Willis, "There was a UFO desk where he was an incumbent for 3 years, but he was just one of dozens of different people who did that task, and he didn't actually investigate anything. He just received reports and filed them. He was a civil servant. There was a body that investigated cases, and it was known as the Defense Intelligence Staff, DI-55, and they were the people who were tasked to investigate UFO incidents that were deemed to have some kind of military significance." The UFO investigator added, "The system was extremely complicated, and there was at various times two or three different departments of the British Ministry of Defense who were involved in investigating UFOs or responding to the public. You might run a few checks with a local radar station, but that's as far as time allowed. If there was anything deemed to be of potentially military significance or something that needed further investigation, it was passed to DI-55 to do the investigation. I've interviewed most of the people who worked on this subject in DI-55 at that time, and they tell me, well, Nick Pope didn't have any involvement in this. We did the investigations, we didn't share information with them because we didn't trust them. He was a civilian who was briefing ministers. He was doing PR work, and during that time and that job, he thought, well, I could make a living from this." Officials of the Defense Intelligence Staff investigated some 10,000 potential ET sightings in the UK from 1997 to the year 2000. Recent analysis of the famous Egyptian mummy named Takaburi has revealed a new and significant detail on how she was murdered. Specifically, a different type of weapon was likely used to kill her. Takaburi lived in Thebes, now it's Luxor, around 660 BC. She was married and died when she was in her late 20s or early 30s. CT scans that were performed a little over a year ago revealed that she died from a stab wound to the upper part of her back, close to her left shoulder. It was initially thought that she was stabbed with a knife, but new studies have revealed that she was probably murdered with an axe. In a recently published book called The Life and Times of Takaburi in Ancient Egypt, Investigating the Belfast Mummy, editors Professor Rosalie David from the University of Manchester and Professor Eileen Murphy, Queen's University Belfast, stated that the weapon used in Takaburi's murder was presumably a military axe. In their research, they used several different types of scientific techniques, such as DNA analysis, CT scans, X-rays, proteomics, and radiocarbon dating, as well as studies on the mummy's hair and the materials she was packed in. They reached the weapon's conclusion based on the wound that they think an axe would have caused. The blade would have had a semicircular-shaped edge that was 7 to 7.5 centimeters long at the minimum. With the style of weapon used and the force used when striking her with it, she would have died very quickly, possibly instantaneously, due to her injuries. Professor Rosalie David, who is an Egyptologist from the University of Manchester's KNH Center for Biomedical Egyptology, noted, "It is somewhat comforting to know that Takaburi's death, though violent, was quick, and she probably didn't suffer for long. Because we've been able to identify the shape of the wound and the angle of entry of the murder weapon, we think an axe was probably responsible." She added, "It is, however, difficult to be absolutely definitive because the morphology of the wound has been significantly distorted. Furthermore, whoever killed her more than likely lunged the weapon into her back while she was attempting to run away. As for who her killer was, since the weapon was believed to have been an axe, it may have been an Assyrian soldier or even someone from the Egyptian army, although it's only speculation." More Weird Dark News in just a moment. You've bolted the doors, locked the windows, turned off the lights, and now all you need before listening to Weird Darkness is a mug of Weird Dark Roast coffee to keep those ghostly chills at bay. Weird Dark Roast Coffee has deep notes of cocoa, caramel, and a touch of sinister sweetness. This is an exclusive coffee that I selected specifically for you, my weirdo family. Weird Dark Roast is not available in stores, coffee houses, mad scientist labs, or even the dark web, but you can find it at WeirdDarkness.com. Use the promo code WEIRD and you won't even have to pay for delivery on your first order. Weird Dark Roast Coffee. Find the link and grab a bag now for yourself at WeirdDarkness.com. The famous theoretical physicist Michio Kaku warns mankind against attempts to establish contact with extraterrestrial civilizations, which are millions of years ahead of us in technical development. The scientist considers it a terrible idea to contact aliens. We cannot afford to take such risks. Michio Kaku is professor of physics at the City College and City University of New York. He considers it unlikely that alien civilizations have previously visited Earth, but we must understand that there are civilizations that are millions of years ahead of us in technical development. As an example, the scientist refers to the Spanish conquest of the Aztecs. The difference in technical development was very significant. For the same reason, it's not desirable for people to come into contact with highly developed civilizations. However, if this happens, which is inevitable, then it must be done very carefully, even if the aliens' behavior towards us is friendly. According to Michio Kaku, each time humanity has more and more opportunities to establish contact. This is largely facilitated by new orbiting telescopes capable of penetrating deep into the universe and seeing more stars and planets. Despite thousands of possible UFO sightings over the years, Dr. Kaku is confident that alien civilizations have not visited Earth in the past. Scientists at NASA have reported an exciting detection by its InSight lander on Mars – mysterious rumblings coming from the interior of the planet. The researchers believe the seismic events may be caused by a sudden release of energy from the planet's interior, but the nature of that release remains unknown and puzzling. Intriguingly, the new rumblings are believed to have originated in a location on Mars called Cerberus Fossae, where two other previous candidate events are believed to have originated. Although these rumblings have sometimes been called Marsquakes, the planet is not believed to have a similarly active tectonic system like Earth's that causes earthquakes. And curiously, the previous seismic events detected by the space agency's InSight lander, which arrived on the planet's surface in 2018, occurred almost a full Martian year ago, or 2 Earth years during the Martian northern summer. Scientists have predicted the season would offer the lander its best opportunity to listen for quakes because the winds on the planet would become calmer. InSight's seismometer, called the Seismic Experiment for Interior Structures, or SEIS, CEIS, is so sensitive that it has to be covered by a dome-shaped shield to block it from wind and prevent it from freezing when in use. Despite that, the wind can still cause enough vibration to mask the seismic signals it's looking for, and so the NASA team has begun to try to insulate the sensitive cable. To do this, the team deployed the scoop on the end of InSight's robotic arm to shimmy soil on top of the dome-shaped shield, allowing it to trickle down onto the cable. The intention is to allow the soil to get as close to the shield as possible without interfering with its seal with the ground. Burying the seismic tether itself is one of the goals of the next phase of the mission, which NASA recently extended by 2 years to December 2022. But despite the interruption that the wind is causing to InSight's seismometer, it isn't giving much of a hand to the lander's solar panels, which remain covered with dust. Power is now running low as Mars moves away from the Sun, although energy levels are expected to pick up again after July when the planet begins to approach the Sun again. Until then, the team is going to turn off InSight's instruments one by one so it can hibernate, waking only periodically to check its own health and send a message back to Earth. NASA said the team hopes to keep the seismometer on for another month or two before it has to be turned off. The year of the pandemic was also the year of the UFO. A massive statistical analysis shows that Americans in lockdown spent a lot of time eyeing the sky, resulting in an across-the-board spike in UFO sightings. COVID-19 caused massive shifts in how Americans spend their time and where. Millions of people lost jobs. Millions more worked from home. It meant that many had the time to gaze skyward, and what'd we see? UFOs of every shape and size and color. Using data beginning in 2001, UFO researcher and author Cheryl Costa published the most detailed analysis of American UFO sighting reports ever assembled, the UFO Sightings Desk Reference. During 2020, she expanded it, covering the next 20 years of sightings reports from almost every city, county, and state. Costa's new project includes a ranking of which cities reported the highest number of odd objects. Phoenix is the number one city. Okay, second year in a row. New York City is number two, Costa said. I never used to count New York City's 5 boroughs. I attended the counties. Now we're counting them as a full city. Las Vegas is number 3 for sightings. Los Angeles is number 4. Number 6 is Portland. San Diego's number 10. Houston is number 11 in the country. Albuquerque, 13. Sacramento, number 21 in the country. 23 is San Francisco. Fresno is 43, and Lubbock is up to 75. Costa does not try to explain the sightings or claim that they are alien craft, only that they are unidentified flying objects people have reported seeing. Her soon-to-be-released report breaks down the sightings by time of day and other categories and analyzes which cities are up and which are down. She's also categorizing the sightings by shape. The shapes people are reporting also come and go by seasons, according to Costa. I was playing with the data, and we were thinking of writing a shapes book at that time when we started noticing, when we started plotting like months. And then, over many months, we started noticing there was a repeating pattern. Sometimes a particular shape would only show up in the fall, or only show up in the spring, or the spring and summer. And we put the whole thing on hold until we corrected all the city spelling situations. And so when we do the shapes book, we're going to be able to show you what seasons they are. Former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said the U.S. government has information about UFOs that's been hiding and covering up for years. Reid, now 80, served as a Nevada senator from 1987 to 2017. While in office, he sought to continue funding a Defense Department program called Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification that has now been discontinued. In the documentary The Phenomenon, director James Fox asked Reid if there's some evidence on UFOs that still hasn't seen the light of day. "I'm saying most of it hasn't seen the light of day," Reid replied. "There's more than one up there," Reid said, adding that he believes UFOs have been interfering with U.S. weapons. The film examines the history of UFO sightings in and outside the U.S. with new details about encounters involving U.S. Navy pilots. It also details a 1967 report about how 10 missiles became inoperative over a U.S. missile base at the same time that a UFO appeared above the base. The Pentagon studied recordings of UFOs in a classified program launched at the request of Reid in 2007 that ended in 2012 due to lack of funding. Luis Elizondo, the former head of the classified program, told CNN in 2017 that he thinks there is very compelling evidence that we may not be alone. These aircraft, we'll call them aircraft, are displaying characteristics that are not currently within the U.S. inventory nor in any foreign inventory that we are aware of. Elizondo said he resigned from the Defense Department in 2017 to protest the secrecy surrounding the program and the opposition to funding it. "They did everything they could to stop the program from going forward. They wanted nothing to do with this. Nobody has to agree why it's there, but shouldn't we at least be spending some money to study all these phenomena? Shouldn't we study this stuff?" The answer is yes, Harry Reid said. Instead, Reid continued, "the federal government all these years has covered up, put brake pads on everything, stopped it. I think it's very, very bad for our country." Elizondo described the documentary as setting a new benchmark for disclosure and the most accurate and informative documentary ever made about UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, according to Phenomenon website. The unwarranted stigma around UFOs has prevented the government and academia from taking this important topic seriously, said Chris Mellon, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence in the Defense Department. "The rapidly increasing number and quality of land and space-based sensors is making the UAP issue impossible to avoid," said Mellon, whose voice is also included in the documentary. In August 2020, the Pentagon announced that the U.S. Navy was overseeing a new task force to investigate unexplained aerial incidents that have been observed on several occasions by U.S. military aircraft. The new task force, the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force, UAPTF, will report to the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security. The Department of Defense and the military departments take any incursions by unauthorized aircraft into our training ranges or designated airspace very seriously and examine each report, the Pentagon said in a press release. This includes examinations of incursions that are initially reported as UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena, when the observer cannot immediately identify what he or she is observing. We got more weird dark news coming your way right after this. Hey Weirdos, our next Weirdo Watch Party is Saturday, May 1st, and we're going to be watching the 1922 silent film Nosferatu, starring Max Schreck, with horror hosts Drac and Countess Carita from Transylvania Tonight. It's one of the rare occasions where the film we're going to be watching isn't a B-movie at all, but a legitimate horror classic. Join us for the Weirdo Watch Party as we watch the film online together for free while being entertained throughout the film by horror hosts Drac and Countess Carita. And jump into the chat room with us if you want to discuss the film or just sit back and enjoy the show. Again, it's Saturday, May 1st, 9 p.m. Central Time. That's 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. in Hawaii, and for our friends in the UK, 3 a.m. on May 2nd. Get the details, see a trailer for the film, see those times again, and watch horror movies and horror hosts 24 hours a day on the Weirdo Watch Party page at WeirdDarkness.com. During interviews, singer Robbie Williams has said many times he believes we are not alone in the universe, but the thought that extraterrestrials can contact him causes him terror. Because of this phobia, he strengthened his house security to the point of even hiring a bodyguard to watch over him while he sleeps. The famous singer previously confessed during an interview for the Alien Nation his meeting with what he believes to be a UFO when he was sober. He said that he might have a mental illness, but he wants to share his story with the skeptics. He also shared that he always felt terrified, thinking that aliens could try to contact him. The artist is aware that statements like this will always be taken with skepticism. For this reason, he did not rule out that he may have suffered hallucinations in the past, which could explain his alleged sightings of UFOs. UFOs harassed U.S. warships for several days in July 2019, according to the newly released information from the logs of U.S. warships. The USS Kidd, USS John Finn, and USS Rafael Peralta were in a military area off the coast of California engaging in a training exercise when those on board noticed UFOs they described as drones or unmanned aerial vehicles. The three ships were swarmed by as many as six drones over a matter of days, at times doing brazen maneuvers around the vessels. The website The Drive obtained the logs through the U.S. Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, which recorded the sightings and entries such as "white light identified hovering over the ship's flight deck" and "Kidd reported UAV overhead." One entry from the Rafael Peralta reported two UAVs spotted off the starboard wing. Another entry added 6 minutes later, four UAVs spotted off the starboard bridge. The warships are equipped with electro-optical systems, thermal imaging, radar, and sensors, but the crew could not track the craft when they disappeared. On July 15, 2019, the three vessels contacted the nearby cruise ship, Carnival Imagination, to know if the crafts were from there. But the crew confirmed they weren't, but they also noticed five or six of the UFOs around the warships. This time, the craft hovered with the USS Rafael Peralta in the area for 3 hours, and at one point recognizing four drones following the ship. The Navy, Coast Guard, FBI, and other agencies did a formal investigation but found no answers. It does not determine where the crafts were launched from. If you were one to believe that the JFK assassination was covered up, then you were correct. These suspicions that JFK's murder was covered up by the CIA have been confirmed, according to a report by Politico this week. Declassified documents released some 52 years after the president's death have shown that the CIA had communication with Lee Harvey Oswald, the alleged assassin, before JFK's murder in 1963. They'd been monitoring his mail since 1959. The chief of the CIA at the time, John McCone, allegedly hid evidence from the Warren Commission, which Lyndon Johnson had set up to investigate JFK's assassination. The spymaster, along with other senior CIA officials, were accused of hiding incendiary information from the commission. This has altered the course of justice. David Robarge has stated that the cover-up was intended to focus the commission on what the agency believed at the time was the best truth, that Lee Harvey Oswald, for as yet undetermined motives, had acted alone in killing John Kennedy. The CIA was directed by McCone to provide only passive, reactive, and selective assistance to the Warren Commission. This means that the investigation was compromised by not following up on other leads which might have been crucial to finding out the truth. John McCone, which died in 1991, is believed to have withheld vital information relating to various CIA plots to assassinate Fidel Castro. Robarge also pointed out that these plots might be linked to JFK's assassination, as there may be a strong chance that his murder was a revenge attack for the CIA operations in Cuba. McCone's reluctance to investigate other potentialities outside of the prime suspect, Oswald, could have led to a miscarriage of justice. When John F. Kennedy was assassinated, it shocked the nation. He was beloved by the people and by far the most charismatic president the nation has ever had. A poll in 2013 found that 30% of Americans held the belief that Oswald acted alone in the assassination, while 61% believed that he was aided in the crime. Robarge claims that these files have been declassified and can be accessed by the public on the George Washington University's National Security Archive. A biography of John McCone was written by Robarge but still remains classified. Could this historian have uncovered more secrets that we are not supposed to know? Until the day comes that we learn the full truth of the JFK assassination, we can only speculate that this cover-up might be bigger than we ever could have imagined. An upcoming report on UFOs from the government will include details that can't easily be explained, a former top official of National Intelligence hinted. John Radcliffe, former director of National Intelligence, told Fox News' Maria Bartiromo that there are cases where they don't have good explanations for some of the unusual stuff that they have seen. When those details become declassified, he'll be able to talk more about it. Radcliffe said that a report to be released by the Pentagon and other federal agencies would present more details to the American people that declassified UFO sightings in the past. Radcliffe said that there have been sightings in different parts of the world, and when we talk about sightings, it's not just a pilot or just a satellite or some intelligence collection. He explained that we have multiple sensors that are picking up these sightings. In the unreleased sightings, Radcliffe revealed that elements that are difficult to explain include movements that are not easy to replicate or traveling at speeds that surpass the sound barrier without making a sonic boom. Maria Bartiromo later said in the program that the report is expected to be released on June 1st of this year. Never get a medical procedure done by someone who is not a licensed medical professional. A Dallas woman was sentenced to 5 years in prison last week in the 2015 death of a New York City nightclub dancer from a silicone buttocks injection in a St. Louis airport hotel room. Daisha Phillips died in July 2015 from a silicone pulmonary embolism 4 days after receiving an illegal cosmetic procedure involving a silicone injection into her buttocks at a hotel near the St. Louis airport. Natisa Lee, now 49, was charged with manslaughter but remained at large until she was arrested by Dallas police in July of 2020. Prosecutors said Lee flew from Dallas to St. Louis to perform the procedure in 2015, in which she injected liquid silicone into Phillips' buttocks, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Daisha Phillips, a dancer at a Brooklyn nightclub, had also traveled to St. Louis for the procedure. The silicone reportedly got into Phillips' bloodstream and traveled to her lungs. She reported having trouble breathing and died 4 days after the procedure. Edmondson, Missouri police said 3 other people were with Phillips for the 2015 procedure. 2 others reportedly got the injections but did not suffer any after effects, and police said the 3rd person decided against undergoing the procedure. Natika Lee pleaded guilty to involuntary manslaughter on April 1st. She was then sentenced to 5 years in prison. Lee, who is not a medical professional, has already served time in prison for robbery, burglary, and theft, according to the Post-Dispatch. More Weird Dark News in just a moment. Want to receive the commercial-free version of Weird Darkness every day? For just $5 per month, you can become a patron at WeirdDarkness.com. As a patron, you get commercial-free episodes of Weird Darkness every day, bonus audio, and you also receive chapters of audiobooks as I narrate them, even before the authors and publishers hear them. But more than that, as a patron, you're also helping to reach people who are desperately hurting with depression and anxiety. You get the benefits of being a patron, and you also benefit others who are hurting at the same time. Become a patron at WeirdDarkness.com. Officials are confident now that attempts to clone an extinct animal should bear fruit someday, according to Nat Geo. The pace of development of modern technologies and science makes it possible to talk about the possibility of cloning a mammoth in the near future, said the head of Yakutia, Asen Nikolaev. I am sure we will still see living mammoths walking along the Yakut tundra, said the head of the republic. According to the president of the Russian Academy of Sciences, Alexander Sergeyev, Yakutia intends to make the mammoth fauna its own brand, including tourism. Now the mammoth, from a symbol of antiquity, eternity, paleontology, in a sense, can turn into a symbol of modern science, which really promotes Yakutia. That is, it will not only be a tourist brand, but a scientific brand of Yakutia, Alexander Sergeyev said. Nikolaev also reported on the primary tasks in the study of mammoth fauna. One of them is to bring the mining of mammoth bone into the sphere of legal regulation. In Russia, more than 80% of the remains of mammoth fauna are concentrated in the territory of Yakutia, which is about 500,000 tons. Attempts to extract suitable material for cloning from the remains of woolly mammoths have been going on for decades. With the melting of the permafrost, the remains of ancient animals began to be found more and more often, and scientists expect to find suitable samples. However, the likelihood of such a scientific breakthrough in the coming years is still small. Cloning mammoths, according to the classical technology, when the nucleus of a living cell is inserted into the egg, is impossible. In the soft tissues of mammoths, even very well preserved, there are no such cells. In samples of frozen tissue, it is sometimes possible to find individual, whole nuclei of cells, but when the remains of ancient animals thaw, those cells are destroyed, and scientists do not yet have the technology that allows you to preserve the structure of the cell while thawing. If that last story reminded you of Jurassic Park, well, keep listening. Neuralink co-founder Max Hodak claims that the company he founded with Elon Musk has the technology now to create a real-life version of Jurassic Park. Max Hodak made a bold statement on Twitter that if they wanted to, they could build Jurassic Park. However, he does not specify how a neurotech company could recreate dinosaurs similar to prehistoric counterparts. Hodak also said that these dinosaurs would not be genetically authentic to real dinosaurs. He believes that 15 years of breeding and genetic engineering would allow for exotic new species of animals, as well as increase the biodiversity of creatures. "We could probably build Jurassic Park if we wanted to," Max Hodak tweeted Saturday. "Wouldn't be genetically authentic dinosaurs, but," shrugging emoji, "maybe 15 years of breeding plus engineering to get super exotic novel species." Biodiversity, or anti-fragility, is definitely valuable. Conservation's important and makes sense, Hodak tweeted. But why do we stop there? Why don't we more intentionally try to generate novel diversity? Experts believe that regardless of whether colleague Elon Musk can resurrect prehistoric creatures or not, his company continues to make strides in other areas of technological progress. Thanks for listening. For more Weird Dark News and other stories of the strange and paranormal, visit us online at WeirdDarkness.com. I'm Darren Marlar.